gotta go look.
Director Sennett?
Here.
Director Sasania?
Here.
Director Kelly?
Present.
President Sparks?
Here. Mr. Seitz, could you start off with a report out of closed session, please?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the audience. At approximately 6 p.m., the board did adjourn to closed session to discuss those items listed on the closed session agenda. With respect to the Los Osos Community Service District bankruptcy case, instructions were given to legal counsel. Other than that, there was no reportable action. However, at least one board member wanted to make sure the audience understood that there were no discussions regarding resolution of the Montgomery Watson Harza claim, because that was broadly discussed during public comment. So, as the Los Osos Community Service District versus the Regional Water Quality Control Board, did hear an update from legal counsel, but took no reportable action. As to Golden State et al., this is the groundwater adjudication. We did not get to that during the first hour, and we will be adjourning to that after the open session to further discuss that item. There were two items under personnel. One was the utility systems manager's performance review pursuant to his employment contract. Part one of the performance review is completed. And I'm going to be purposely vague here because these performance reviews are confidential. However, there's been substantial public comment on this issue as well, and I do want to report that the review was favorable. But you're not getting anything more than that, and it is a vague response, but in case people had some interest in that review, that is a vague response. Lastly, we did add a new item to the closed session agenda, and that was conference with our labor negotiators pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. The district's designated representatives are Mr. Cooney and myself, and the employee organization is SLOSIA. We did hear an update on ongoing negotiations. Further instructions were given to the district's negotiators. Other than that, there was no reportable action. And that concludes my report.
Thank you very much. There's about four fundraisers going on here in Los Osos that I think people would be happy to know about. And these are being organized, and people are participating from all sides of the political realm in Los Osos. Everybody's joining together for these fundraisers. One is next Wednesday, May 13th. Scenic Coast Association of Realtors has their annual golf tournament at Sea Pines, and it benefits the homeless shelter and the food bank. And it's a goofy golf tournament, so if I can golf, any of you can golf in it. You can get punked. I mean, it's really a fun event. $60 to play in the barbecue, or just $15 for the barbecue. Then the next day, Thursday, May 14th, we're having a belated Cinco de Mayo fundraiser dinner here at the Community Center for People Helping People. That's the organization that does the weekly food giveaway and lends out medical equipment. It's $7 for a build-your-own taco salad, vegetarian or with meat, $8 at the door, a really good meal. And then Saturday, May 23rd, from 8 to 2 p.m., is a huge garage sale. And I mean huge. People from all over the county are bringing things to it. And this is to benefit the homeless shelter, the Maxine Lewis Homeless Shelter. It's at the corner of Bayview Heights and Ocean View. That's south of Los Osos Valley Road near the up past the fire station. It's at Petey Johnson's house, and that's Saturday all day. And then early bird preview will be Friday from 4 to 6 with a $5 donation. So there's just tons and tons of things available like that. And like I say, everybody's participating in it. Then one more, Tuesday, June 2nd at 5:30 p.m. right here at the Community Center is the Taste of South Bay. And that's the annual fundraiser with food and wine, a dozen wineries, a dozen restaurants and caterers. This year we're rolling back the ticket prices at the door to $25. And, I mean, I'm sorry, $25 in advance and $30 at the door. So get your tickets in advance to that, and it's going to be a really nice evening. Thank you very much.
Ms. Walsh, did you say on the Taste of South Bay, and what's the benefit for the Taste of South Bay?
Taste of South Bay is one of the fundraisers that keeps this community center going. Taste of South Bay and the reverse drawing are the two big fundraisers, and this is the one June 2nd.
And what was the date on the garage sale again?
Garage sale is May 23rd from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., and Friday 4 to 6 for early birds, $5 at the door. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And the activity this month, I'm sure you've seen in the report, we've had 74 calls. Four were simultaneous calls back to back, and we were able to take care of those with one of those requiring advanced life support. Of those 74 incidents, 53 were medicals, 18 requiring advanced life support. That's what your medics do, and very good that they're there for them. Four incidents were reported as fires, 12 were public service assists, and we had five what we call miscellaneous emergencies. For special projects, one of the things that Chief Veneris wanted me to just bring up is the hazard abatement issue. Not just the one that's on the staff report, but the fact that hazard abatement is starting in Los Osos the end of May. So the last week of May, we're going to be starting to have the fire engine out, making its rounds for the hazard abatement. And it's required by June 1st. So they'll make their first rounds the last week of May. And then there are some limited funds available to assist property owners here in Los Osos through the, he said, Garbage Man's Association. And those funds are available on a first-come, first-served basis because they are limited. But if people are interested, they can go to Station 15. Station 15 will take their information and get that out to the vendor that's helping with that. And they are working on the issue with the permits that are required for the hazard reduction that's listed in your special projects report. And the paperwork has been filed to get a crew out there to help with the Daisy Hills hazard abatement project. So that should work out well. The folks that work here at Station 15 have been going through a lot of training. That's one of the things we do prior to what we call our peak wildland season. So we've been getting a lot of the folks here out to some training that's very beneficial. And as a matter of fact, because of their training, they are down in the Santa Barbara incident right now. So we've been using every individual we can possibly find. As you may be aware, Santa Barbara is their own department, but they're contract with CAL FIRE for their state responsibility land protections. And so when a fire happens down there, San Luis Obispo unit is very taxed with trying to send individuals down there. And Phil, who's the IC of the team that I'm on, actually, we went down there and did a lot of pre-planning for Santa Barbara. So whenever something happens down there, Phil gets to go down there and help out because we really want to make sure that they're taken care of well. One of the last things that he asked me to address is is the H1. Happy to work with you to find out if you're either have symptoms or direct you in what you can do if you believe you may have symptoms. And the symptoms are basically flu-like symptoms. And if you are in question at all, you do want to contact the healthcare providers and your doctor and ask them as well, because they've all been, everybody's working very well in getting this contained in San Luis. So the county health here has been doing a fantastic job of protecting its citizens. If you're not sick, there are precautions that you can take. So in order to prevent some of that spread, make sure that you cough or sneeze into a tissue or into your elbow. That's what we're recommending folks do. Wash your hands often with soap and water. I'm sure that you're having the same issue. You can't go to a Rite Aid and find any hand sanitizer. All those are gone. So you want to, they're trying to get more out every day. So that's one of the things you can do is carry the little hand sanitizers with you. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth because those are transmittable areas. And if you do come in contact with sick people, it would be best if you limit your contact with them and they limit theirs with you. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them for you.
Thank you very much, Nancy.
Thank you.
Vice President Olhilski?
No, the last item on there, which is the Maxine Lewis item, I think that we'll talk about that during my committee report for the emergency services. I wanted to talk a little bit more about that item.
And next up would be our utilities manager report, Mr. Milanes.
Good evening, President Sparks, board and public in attendance and at home. George Milanes, utilities manager. We're kind of wrapping up the year. This is the time of year we submit some of our more significant reports to Department of Health Services. These things are being submitted. The annual drinking water report has gone in as it should this time of year. We're also working on consumer confidence report. That will be to all the customers of the water service by July 1. Basically, we send this out every year. It's a mandated report, and it really accounts for the water quality of the system into not only making better use of the upper aquifer, but also is right in line with conditions of the ISJ. That, of course, is of importance to the district. That kind of concludes what's going on with the department. I would like to make mention now, or early on, there's a water fest in June, on June 20th at Morrill Rock. This event is hailed to be fairly large this year. I understand this is the third year. The first year is about 1,000 people attended. The second year, which was up in the Sunken Gardens in Atascadero, over 2,000 people attended. This year, it's going to be held at Morrill Rock, and they're expecting over 4,000 people. So it's kind of early notice, but it has to do with everything with stormwater, pollution control, and water conservation. And again, that's June 20th, and it's coming up. So I just want to make notice of that. If I think that concludes my report. If there's any questions, I'm more than glad to answer them.
Director Cicina?
The 8th Street well, is it back in service completely? The notice here talks about first week of April. And
yeah, it actually got kind of delayed. It is online and in service, as well as our South Bay well. Okay. Both service are in full production now.
Thank you.
Mr. Milanes, on the Water Fest, is it okay? There's a volunteer registration form that we have here and a contact telephone number.
Okay, that was, thank you for picking that up, President Sparks. There are volunteer registration forms. They are looking for volunteers. I imagine, like everything else, everything comes in at the last minute. But if you want to participate, they are looking for volunteers. There's everything from poster distribution to trash recycling the day of the event. So the registration forms are on the back table, and I encourage everyone, if you know of anyone, if you're not particularly interested, pick one up and come on out and enjoy the day.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and give the contact is Kim Busby, and it's 805-756-6664 for volunteers.
Also, the website.
Okay, our general manager is not here. Is there anything else, Mr. Milanes, or any other questions?
Just answer questions.
Thank you. Okay, our general manager is not here tonight, so there won't be a general manager report. Next item is going to be our committee reports, and I guess we'll go ahead and start off with, I want to start off from the right with Director Kelly, the Water Advisory Committee.
Thank you, President Sparks. The Water Ops Committee meeting, the Water Advisory Committee meeting, the report that has been submitted was for the April 8th meeting. We discussed two issues. One was drainage and submitting comments to the county regarding possible recommendations around dewatering and LID implementation. I did forward those comments on to Mitch and Marshall, and they were incorporated in the letter that was sent to the Planning Commission on I believe it was April 16th. The second issue that we discussed was policy development of reserves for water operations and drainage. Specifically, we are recommending, as per the FCS, with some modifications, that we implement a rate stabilization reserve and an emergency reserve. The rate stabilization reserve would be an emergency fund to cover operations in the event of emergency up to 60 days, and then also to take into account conservation for a possible 10% reduction over the next 3 years with CPI. We weren't sure on the 3 years, but that's a laudable target. We'll see what happens. The second capital reserve, FCS recommended $470,000 to be specifically set aside for repair and replacement, based on projected project list via depreciation of the system. The depreciation list, I believe, is still being developed, but that reserve would be used to replace. And then also put in the inclusion in the development of a capacity charge. These reserves would be set and funded over time as a line item in the yearly budget. Further discussion was held to direct the IGM to develop and implement policies that will further the financial stability of the district. The next step is that there will be a resolution coming back to the committee to review, and then we'll send that recommendation back to the board. And that's where we are so far. Any questions?
Thank you. While you're up, do you want to give any reports on the affordability or the strategic planning?
Okay.
Ad hoc.
Let's start with Steve.
Let's go to the left.
We came with Mr. Seitz. The next discussion was, right, I was also to find and meet with a potential facilitator, and I will be doing that next week. And I'll have a formal written report for our next meeting regarding the strategic planning. Do you have anything else that we discussed, remember?
No, I can't really think of anything. It's really in its infancy. We're trying to get our arms around the whole process and how we're going to proceed. It really is a, you know, you're afraid to take the first step because that's going to lead you into what the whole process will be. So taking that first step is a big part.
Thanks. Chuck and I met 2 weeks ago. I believe it was 2 weeks ago we met, and we had a pretty lengthy discussion, actually. Came to a couple of agreements on how to develop a framework to incorporate the community into some of the discussion. Chuck was going to call...
Section 8 Housing Assistance Coordinator.
Right, to find out whether... any type, what if there's a utility cap on Section 8 housing supplements, correct? And I was to arrange a meeting between myself, John Diodati, and Supervisor Gibson. That is in the works. We'll hopefully be able to do that next Friday. Was there one other thing that we were doing? Those were the two action items from our initial meeting, and we'll hopefully come back with something again after that. I did follow up also with the foundation funds. They were, and I did call Dan Berman at the MBNEP because a big chunk of those funds were from the estuary program, specifically for the low income assistance. I have talked to Dan and asked him to please forward me the original letters of intent for that fund, and he is working on that, and I hope to have those in PDF form, and I'll forward those to Chuck as soon as I can get them. So I did do that as well. I believe that's all we've done so far.
Thank you very much.
Any questions?
Great. And I guess next we'll go emergency services.
Emergency services, yes. We did meet, and I didn't put was involved in with the Maxine Lewis shelter, and I think that Richard could speak more cogently to that than I can.
Thank you, Marshall. During open public comment at the Emergency Services Committee meeting, I just wanted the committee and those in the room to know that for the fundraiser, the Christmas fundraiser here at the Community Center for the shelter, the fire department, I think in conjunction with their benevolent association or whatever, offered a day with the firefighters for a school-aged child in Los Osos. It was put up for bid. People bid on it all day. Right at the end, somebody bid on it for the son of the director of the night shelter. This little boy has wanted to be a firefighter since, his mom says, since he came out of the womb. It was supposed to be set up, you know, that he would be picked up at school. You know, they were trying to arrange it. He was very anxious about the whole process. It got to the point where this little boy is 5 years old in kindergarten, that when he saw fire trucks come down the street by his house or in the neighborhood, he thought they were coming to pick him up for this day with the firefighters. Anyway, it all turned out great. They picked him up at school. They took him to Sylvester's for lunch. They brought him back to the fire station. He got to, there were pictures of him with the hoses. They had a little uniform for him for the day. He was on the truck. There's probably, how many would you say, Marshall? Maybe there were 200 pictures taken of what he did that day. The kid went back to school, was a hero in his class for, you know, the next 2 weeks. And I just wanted the firefighters that were there that night and the committee to know that outside of what they do for the community, you know, saving lives and fighting fires, that they also have big hearts, because I would be stunned if this little boy isn't a reserve firefighter in town here at some point, and maybe then a full-time firefighter in the future. It was a great contribution from them to the fundraiser, and from what I hear, they're going to offer the same thing the next year. So, thank you.
I thought Richard could speak better to that than I, since he's involved. But I think that I wanted to put emphasis on that item because it is a community outreach program that the fire department is doing. Schedule C did not have time to come out here to actually meet with us on the site because she didn't know what the timing would be of the Planning Commission meeting. So she is coming back up on, I believe, May 28th for the next public hearing, at which time we will schedule a site visit with her at the beginning of the day out at the across the street to discuss this in more detail. But I just want to let you know we're following up on it, but her schedule is just her schedule has not allowed us to set up a time to meet out at the site to discuss that matter. So the fence removal is on the agenda. That's it, I think.
Thank you. And next we'll go to the Finance Advisory Committee. We met in April, and we just had two topics, the district reserve policy, Director Kelly, the reserve policy that Director Kelly alluded to and discussed. We focused more in the committee, as extensive discussion on the drainage reserve, the fact it's fixed funding, and the fact that as expenses rises over time, funding of reserves like that will have to be revisited by the board, because over time we will lose the ability to fund those reserves. And then the second item was the fund allocations to the administrative allocation, to the administrative operations. And Mitch gave a summary of all the tax allocations, personnel allocations, and the fund allocations. And the committee discussed the trade-offs of the formula that Mitch is using, which is distributed from the various funds in a proportional manner, except for the fire, which his initials straw man is 5% of the emergency services fund. And so we discussed using that fixed allocation, the rationale, and we'll review that again at the next Finance Committee meeting. Also, we will have a Finance Committee meeting coming up on May 18th of this month, and it will be discussing the first discussion of the next year's budget. So are there any questions on the Finance Committee meeting? Okay, and with that, the consent agenda, we have six items, so I'd like to know. Thank you. Any director reports from any outside committees?
Item E.
Any other items? Okay, so with that, item E, and item E is the appointment of an ad hoc committee to meet with the utility systems manager concerning district work objectives. And so that will be pulled for discussion later. And so we'll be discussing, or we'll be voting on consent items A, B, C, D, and F. And so with that, we'll go ahead and take public comment on the administrative and committee reports and the consent calendar items A, B, C, D, and F. Oh, the administrative and committee reports and consent items A, B, C, D, and F. The item E, the appointment of an ad hoc committee to meet with the utility systems manager concerning work objections is pulled for separate discussion.
Richard Margetson. The first comment, there's so much here. The first comment is the utility manager's report. I still have this problem with this discrepancy in the consumption and production numbers, but that's not what I wanted to talk about tonight. I kind of wanted to focus a little bit, since you're getting towards budget hearings. The revenue to date from, these aren't numbered, but it's showing for the first 10 months, $1,292,000 for current revenue. If you extrapolate that out for the rest of the year, you know, at this rate, with these last 2 months actually being lower income months for us on average, we're looking at $1,550,000 revenue approximately, dramatically under what is budgeted for this year, and actually another $50,000 under what I think the preliminary budget for next year is talking about using as the starting point. I think we need to keep that in mind. Water rate study consultant was here, was what we were going to do about the middle school, you know, if the middle school came offline and we weren't receiving those revenues. And I think part of the discussion was, you know, maybe setting a rate, a commercial rate or some other rate for those big consumers. I think that's got to be part of the discussion coming up, and probably pretty quick. I guess since there's so much here and this is going to come up later, I guess my last comment would be, when we get to the budget hearings, I don't know how you're going to set it up at this point, but I think you've got to leave enough time for input from the community beyond the 3 minutes. Either have a couple of opportunities to speak, maybe speak, take public comment, and then the directors talk about it, and then maybe come back to the public one more time, because there's some issues that have to be addressed this upcoming year. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Next speaker, please.
Frank Salil, Los Osos. First question I have is that when the Ms. Kelly went to the RAC, they presented a letter that they voted on, and she voted on that letter to send to the Planning Commission. If you would have that letter placed on the website for the public to review so it's there, or put at least a link to where that letter could be found on the RAC site, I think that would be helpful to the public. Also, a hard copy of that letter at the LLCSD office for those who don't have access or don't use a computer system. The other thing is the, the water advisory. And I want to find out, tomorrow there's a meeting with the water board, and they invited all the water purveyors to attend, and I'm not clear who's the one that is going to be attending that meeting and represent this board to that body. I'd be interested to find that out. Also, is the water advisory, this is all directed towards the water. You're welcome. Is the water advisory committee issues, I think that could be brought forward. And it was recommended by the RAC that there be a more of a open process with the ISJ, and Maria can expand upon that. So tomorrow it's at 10 o'clock, supposedly, at the because that could be changed by the chair. And there's only 1 hour available for public comment. So those people who have considering 3 minutes, it may be limited to less than 3 minutes, depending on the number of speakers that they do have. Thank you.
Thank you. There's a question. Did you want to make a comment on the RAC?
Yes, I really appreciate Frank for bringing this up. My intent, when I I have it in my notes, when I submit my report from the RAC, I will attach the letter from the subcommittee that I was on, of the letter that we were sending to Board of Supervisors and Planning Commission. So, yeah, thank you, Frank. And then we'll talk about the regional board later.
You said talk about the regional board later. I guess it's not an item. Yeah, I think the other question, as far as the water purveyor attending, I would expect that would have gone to Mitch, and he's not here tonight. So,
I would like.
Do you want to interject?
I'm not sure how to. I did. This was an item I would like to make during board comments. I think we can resolve this.
Okay. Next speaker, please.
Dave Dugan, Los Osos. You're talking about drainage and the funding, how it's, I guess, a fixed funding for just drainage. I guess you guys had discussed that. But you made a comment about, it kind of trailed off, how it would be hard to fund those areas or something. You made a comment. I would just want you to clarify and go further on that comment, because that was very short, and not be able to fund the drainage, and that's a dedicated source. So I want you to clarify that. Also, too, you're going to be doing this lease agreement and changing. You're dropping one office, consolidating. And are you dropping the utilities manager's office, or are you keeping that? And what's happening with the Channel 20, is that going to be moved or stay where it's at? In other words, I just want to find out exactly what you're losing, what you're gaining. And it is a better idea to do that. And are you expected to have the utilities managers?
Would diminish over time. And so just like potentially down the road have to deal with it similar to how we're dealing with Cabrillo now or in other manner. But the point was that over time we would lose some ability to fund the reserves. A couple other questions, just briefly. The Channel 20 wasn't part of the associated with the lease agreement in the office space. So, and then the recommendation of the general manager was that he'd have sufficient office space for our staffing needs for the next fiscal year. Next speaker, please.
Leon Golden, Los Osos. I don't know. every time I come to this microphone, I get this thing. There must be something in the microphone. Anyway, I sincerely hope that Maria will put that letter online so everyone could take a good look at it as soon as possible. It points out some interesting questions about this upcoming project, and is full of non-answers as to the questions that are raised by the letter itself. Now, maybe this will lead to a revision of it, but I hope not, because I've seen it around. Some folks already have it, so let's get it out there. And the other point I'd like to make, following up on what Richard raised, you know, dialogue is the most important thing that we could have. Just having public comment, answering questions, or sometimes folks having the last word, which happens a lot at the county,
is not the way to get the opinion of the community. You get the opinion of the community by having a dialogue with them. And that means you get public comment, you get people on the board discussing the questions that are raised in public comment, and then you get more public comment. Because there are a lot of talented people in this community. Richard, for one, can crunch numbers better than anyone I've ever seen. And he's somebody who you want to give a little extra time when you're talking about budget, because he will point out things that need to be pointed out and things that need to be addressed.
Thank you for your comments. Any other public comment? Mr. Milanis.
If I might, Mr. Margetson made some comments on my report. What I do want to say is he made a good point as to what was forecast, and I will defer to our AMPI, and the board can ask how we got to 1.7. My original number was always 1.6. I want to be clear on that. The projected number, I'd never forecast that. If there's a shining light or a silver lining or anything, I can report that next month I will be reporting that April we saw a 17% increase in water consumption, which is quite a jump considering we've been reporting this 2-3% for several months now. We're falling back. So I still stand behind my 1.6. For what it's worth, and I'll allow you to, you know, if you want to look into anything further, ask AMPI, our accountant. And I just want to make that clear that it is looking better, but it is what it is.
No, thank you. That's a good point, Mr. Lawrence. I remember, and last year when we did the budget, you had that first sheet where you had marked up. You were the first one to have the budget before our. I remember for our finance committee meeting, and the 1.7 is just a reminder. The origin of that was our previous general manager was factoring in that we would have a water rate study done earlier than we did, and was factoring the potential water rate increase as a result of that water rate study. And as we know that didn't happen. And I think that's the source of that discrepancy. Yeah.
I think it's important.
I appreciate
to get it out
the explanation.
The
Any additional public comment? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board.
I'm ready to make a motion.
Before you make your motion, I'm sorry, Vice President Hilsky, just one more. Mr. Golan had a comment. I just want to, again, reiterate, the budget hearings will have a finance committee meeting, two of them. We'll have two board meetings. Our general manager is.
But I think also we have the advisory committees that have an opportunity for much more open and free-flowing discussion than happens in the formal meeting. So I would advise people that opportunity is there for public input also. I would like to go ahead and move that we approve items A, B, C, D, and F.
I'll second it.
And accept the committee reports.
Second.
Could I ask that you modify to also accept the administration reports?
Yes. I will. As long as my seconder goes along, we'll fine.
I will second the amended.
Ms. Vega?
Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Kelly?
Yes.
President Sparks?
Yes. Okay, the next item will be item F, which was to appoint an ad hoc committee to meet with the utilities manager to go over district work objectives. And I wanted Mr. Seitz to comment briefly. You know, we had in closed session a performance evaluation, and this is not what this is. This is simply was to have an ad hoc committee meet with Mr. Milanis to go over district objectives.
That's correct. Excuse me. To the extent that there's any confusion, this item F is, or sorry, E is separate and apart from the performance evaluation. This is just an opportunity for the utility manager to meet with an ad hoc committee to go over, discuss work objectives and those things that he's observed during his tenure with the district. Lastly, I would also add that any motion that would be to approve an ad hoc committee to meet with Mr. Milanez would also include that a report be given to the board at a set date as a result of those meetings.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz. And with that, we'll go ahead and listen to any director questions before we take public comment.
No, comments? Mr. Seitz discussed why I had it pulled. I wasn't clear on the timeline of that committee, so that's why I pulled it. So,
yeah, my expectation is this would be very short duration and would be done no later than the end of the month, and sooner actually. We'll go ahead and take public comment.
People out there that I'm going to miss George when he's gone. Because he's been a fountain of information for me when I first started getting involved. And he is clearly conscientious about what he does. And I think this ad hoc committee meeting is a good thing. And I don't expect... I would expect that George will be able to find work elsewhere and nearby, and that he'll be able to continue on with either a wastewater or water and make a good living. I'm reminded that when I was on the Water Ops Committee that how he was hounded in a political vendetta, and that really made it hard to be on that committee. And I'm just hoping that what comes out of this next meeting, this final meeting, I would say, of future ideas, and that it really helps this district move forward in a positive way, for achieving a water balance for this community. So not only people that live here now, but people who are going to be building their homes in the future will have sufficient water at such a rate that it makes it unaffordable. It doesn't make it unaffordable to live here. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please.
Gwen Taylor, the subject of tomorrow's meeting at the Water Board was discussed briefly, and the person who is to represent the CSD at the meeting was never defined.
Ms.
My
Taylor,
question is, who is going to do
this? Ms. Taylor, this is not the subject we're discussing right now. We're discussing the formation of an ad hoc committee.
I know you are,
manager.
Sir, but you did not answer a question that is pertinent to water and what we are going to have as a representative. Please give us an answer.
Yeah, I can't give you an answer right now. Next speaker, please.
Julie Tacker. In reading the staff report, it says that as a part of the exit process for the utility system manager, he has requested a meeting with the board of directors to discuss objectives after sharing with the public with regard to that position. So I think you're sort of letting the horse out of the barn before you've got the doors or whatever even built. So we as the public don't know what's happening with the position, and I think that this is unfair to sort of talk about it this way. You need a formal discussion. Thanks.
Thank you for your comment. Mr. Seitz, can you, there's a question there on the announcements, and before you state that, I think there was wording in there, the use of the word exit. This is something Mr. Milanis, I think, you know, has concerns of how the district, the district objectives for the water department and how the district operates its water utilities. And it certainly, I think, is, it wasn't, I think the wording that he requested this as part of the exit is not necessarily correct.
Yeah. First of all, I did not assist in writing this staff report, so and Mitch is here not to explain it. Excuse me. I must have what Leon has. Without belaboring the point, I think most people know that Mr. Milanez is a contract employee. You may remember, starting maybe 2 months ago, we had contract negotiations pursuant to the agreement as to whether or not the contract was going to be renewed. I do think that after a closed session, we did announce that the contract negotiations were not going to be renewed. And that's the only announcement we've made, as far as I know. Other than that, I think. So that's the only response I have.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Well, in all candor, I don't see the point of all this. It seems to me that in the usual course of business, the interim general manager, or if he's being replaced by a successor, whoever the general manager is, should meet with the departing manager of the utility system and find out what he's been doing and how things have been going and get ready for should be with the general manager. I assume he's going to be consulted on whoever is being hired to replace George, if someone is being hired to replace George.
Thank you for your comment. And I briefly state again the recommendation, and this is coming from our general manager.
If I could just make a short comment, I think hopefully it'll clarify. Mr. Milanez wrote the board a letter requesting to meet with us, and that's the purpose we set up this meeting. It's at his request.
Thank you for your comment, and thank you, Vice President Olhilsky. Next speaker, please. Oh, on agenda item 4E.
That's a pretty important position that Mr. Milanez is leaving. Has there been advertisement for a replacement, or is this, it's kind of like cutting off the lead here and who's going to take the place? It's an important position. Was it posted anywhere that we need a replacement? And what does the job pay? And what's the requirements?
Mr. Payne, we're not discussing the position. We're discussing the formation of an ad hoc committee to meet and discuss district water and utility objectives.
I didn't understand what you said at all.
We're receiving public comment on the recommendation to form an ad hoc committee to discuss the water utilities department objectives and district water utility objectives. We're not discussing the position of the utilities manager. That's not what the board's discussing.
Oh. So it was a board discussion not to renew his contract, but it's not a board discussion to figure out a replacement?
That's not what this agenda item is.
Okay. Just looks like a horse without a tail here.
Of the current staff that's in the department now. And, Julie doesn't know this because she wasn't there, but there has been discussion in the at the committee level about how the process is going to go forward and which individual from the utility staff may be assuming some type of managerial role or, overseer of the department. I'm sure that's part of this discussion, and I think it would be nice for the community to know the direction you're going as soon as possible. And, that's probably what George is also going to be talking to you about. So I do think it is part of this overall discussion, and I think you should get, you know, give the community some idea of where you're going with this. Because I know the people that were at the committee have an understanding, I think.
Yeah, thank you for your comments. Any additional public comments? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. Are there any other board questions or any other questions or comments?
I move that we accept the item.
Yeah, I don't think, unless the board wants to recommend some alternate action, I don't think there's any board action needed. I just want...
Don't we have to approve it separately on consent?
It's a consent item for discussion, but the action will be for me. So I don't think... Is that correct, Mr. Seitz?
Well, no, I do think that as part of this...
Is your mic on, sir?
I strategically leave it off. I think that the idea here is to... is a motion to form the ad hoc committee that, of course, the president actually appoints the ad hoc committee and sets the date for the report back to the community.
I would like to see the report to come back to the board at the first meeting in June as a timing basis, because I think as we get into the budgeting process and the negotiations, the labor negotiation process, I think that it's important that we have this information as a board as soon as possible. So I would recommend that, assuming that everybody's schedules works out, that we meet as soon as possible and then bring a report back at the first meeting in June.
Yeah, I agree with you, Vice President Hilsky. And in fact, I'd go further, and it'll be the goal to bring a report back both for the Water Advisory Committee and the Finance Committee, because the Finance Committee is going to be discussing budget.
I just think that the motion was direct the president to appoint. So I just think the president can appoint the ad hoc committee, but set the date for the report.
We've heard from the community that there's a little concern about just what has happened in terms of succession planning, and committees have talked about it, but there's never been a report out of a committee about this. So is it just part of the budget process that we're going to let this all unfold, I guess, is kind of where we're headed, and just ask everybody to be patient over the next month or two?
Yeah, I'm not going to ask them to be patient because we're getting close to doing the budget, but it was part of unfortunately, when Mitch first brought this back of what his recommendation was, it did go to the Finance Committee in early April, but it was part of a larger package that we ended up not considering because of other issues. And so there was a public report that did go to that aspect of, how we would support management and technical support for the water utilities department.
So bad lawyer habit.
Okay. So that, any other director questions or comments? Okay, with that, I'll go ahead and appoint myself and Vice President Hilsky to the ad hoc committee to meet with our utilities system manager concerning work objectives, the report to be provided no later than no later than the 1st of June. First meeting in June. Well, the report, I'm going to say the 1st of June, so the report can be included in the June package. So we'll have a report by the 1st of June. Okay, and that, Director Kelly?
I want to follow up on a couple of comments that were made regarding regional board, and it was a question that I had, and I believe that I also read the staff report, and I'm also curious and would request that staff be present and report back to the board at the next meeting regarding what the status of that was, whether it's George or John or George and John or...
Yeah, just to bring you up to speed, I think Rob Miller is planning to attend, our district engineer. Anybody else?
Myself, Rob Miller was in attendance as well as the other purveyors at the regional office, and basically it was a prerequisite not necessarily not a prerequisite, but kind of a preview to this meeting that's happening tomorrow at the regional board. And basically, it had to do with let's all get on one page, so we all know, you know, who's doing whom to, you know, what to whom. So I had planned on attending. If that is not the board's wish, I'm more than glad to sit it out. But if you want me there, I'd be more than glad to bring back a report. Obviously, Mr. Miller is capable in doing that for you as well. But that's kind of the story on what's going on for tomorrow.
No, I don't think you need direction. I think, you know, I think you should go, and it, I think it'd be greatly appreciated.
Yeah. Well, I'll do that then. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Milanis. And with that, we'll go to we'll now have general public comment. Oh, and can you please line up behind the podium so we can get a little bit less time between speakers. And excuse me, Ms. Thacker, before you start, I did have a written comment that was given to me, so I'll go ahead and read it. It was from Frank Acilio, and this is regarding a request for additional speaking time for a Regional Water Board meeting on May 8th, agenda item 15. And for people, and this is from Roger Briggs, for people interested in the Los Osos groundwater item, the chair intends to limit public comment on this item to 1 hour, regardless of the number of speakers. And so this may result in a time limit per speaker that is less than 3 minutes, so plan ahead. He said he appreciates all the written materials in advance and looks forward to hearing summaries of these materials at the board meeting. Thanks, Roger Briggs. And that was written comment submitted by Mr. Acilio. Go ahead. Thank you, Ms. Thacker.
Okay. I am Julie Thacker. I kind of want to give a little bit of history or remind us all about the last year or so, a couple of years actually, with our technical advisory committee that represented all of us as sort of our peers through the analysis process as a wastewater treatment facility and disposal site. You have two members of the TAC on this board. We have a member of the former member of the TAC on the RAC as our District 2 representative, and Mr. Berman from NEP. Recently, I have heard several TAC members, including Ms. Kelly, Mr. Garfinkel, and Mr. Berman, supporting the county project, the preferred project, which includes the Tonini site as a wastewater treatment facility and disposal. Ms. Kelly and Mr. Garfinkel have recently been to the Board of Supervisors or the Planning Commission to continue to sort of press the governing bodies to hurry along for some stimulus money that may or may not be there. And I think to rush a process, we've seen rushed processes in this community, and then we have seen projects explode due to running over the community. Yesterday at the RAC, Ms. Kelly and Mr. Garfinkel were both there, and again in a rush, a subcommittee report was motioned and seconded and voted on by that community in about a 35-minute discussion. And really only two parts of the project were discussed by the public. And I'd say that we got rushed through a process that we had hoped would include the public at the Water Resources Advisory Committee level. And I just wanted to say that I don't think Los Osos is being represented very well by these two individuals that are on the RAC right now. Thank you and good night.
Thank you for your comments. The next speaker, please.
Frank Casilio, Los Osos. First, I want to point out another little quirk in documents that I have been reviewing. In the frequent asked questions regarding quality issues in Los Osos, fall of 2004, edition 6 of the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board, if you remember those little pamphlets they kept placing out. It states, a recent study commissioned by the Los Osos CSD estimates that the toe of the seawater edge underneath the western port. These key findings and conclusions underlie the urgent need for a complete management of the Los Osos Basin water resources. Its water supply, conservation, use, and treatment and disposal of wastewater. The report's dated 1973. I think we're a little behind the curve here. Also, in the final EIR, when I wrote regarding the draft part, I was questioned some of the figures in the EIR regarding the amount of seawater intrusion, because they mentioned 460 acre feet. And Cleeton Associates said it was 560 acre feet. But they concluded that, yes, we used the Cleeton Associates 205 seawater intrusion assessment. Also reflects the most recent estimates of groundwater production in the basin and includes pumping pattern changes in water conservation measures implemented since the time of the early study. Unfortunately, there's no real hard data to show that, but that's what the county wrote. I'd like you to support a basin-wide 218 vote for your recommendation you made to the Planning Commission regarding the cost above what the Regional Water Board is requesting, because eventually, which is ironic, this board's going to have to bring, if it goes to the water providers, you will have to go to your constituents and do a 218 anyway for the water, the area that you cover for water. So my recommendation is start thinking about a 218 basin-wide and moving in that direction so everybody's involved with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Long time no see. Aaron Oaks from Los Osos. Tonight, I wanted to express concern about the district's pending litigation with Montgomery Watson Harza and the shortlisting of NWH on the current project. If you've been paying close attention to the county BOS meetings lately, you'll notice that MWH has made a comeback of sorts. On April 7th, County Public Works announced that MWH is on the design build RFQ shortlist for both collection and treatment systems. Most in this room know of MWH's history with the district. I am asking that this board not settle with MWH as a means of promoting MWH over the other contractors on the project or pushing MWH predetermined outcomes and deep-seated prejudices. This CSD, by its own admission, is no longer in the wastewater business and should let the process play out without interference. Settling with MWH would cause a disarray and a lack of trust in the district by the community that we have not seen since the days of the recall. County Council Warren Jensen did not want to go on the record about the pending lawsuit with MWH, but we know the lawsuit exists. And not only does it exist, it clearly illustrates that MWH poses a considerable threat to what ought to be a fair and balanced design-build process, and therefore to the community at large. John Seitz may have to recuse himself, as he was the attorney on duty at the LOCSD in 1999, and for some reason, he avoided signing that backdated MWH contract as the attorney approved to form that is on all of the rest of the CSD's public contracts before and after. Since the initial contract was potentially illegal, I think MWH may owe the LOCSD some money. And perhaps some of that money could be used to settle some of the bankruptcy debts. Of course, it would all need to go through the bankruptcy judge and creditors committee. So, board, I urge you, do not settle with Montgomery Watson Harza. Leave it to the courts. Do not appear to be supporting or condoning illegal activity.
Thank you for your comments.
Jerry Walsh.
There's been a lot of discussion in the county with problems concerning Montgomery Watson Harza and Paavo Ogren. And I know County Council is preparing a report to address a possible conflict of interest, but I think the community needs to hear this. While it may not be illegal, although I think it is possibly a question of the ethics of the individuals involved who should be representing us. I'm going to read you a memo dated January 6, 06, from Bruce Buell to Dan Blesky. I reported to work as Los Osos CSD's general manager on November 16, 1999. Paavo Ogren, who was the interim general manager prior to my term, presented me with a series of items of unfinished business. One of these items was the draft agreement with Montgomery Watson Harza, MW, to perform wastewater project management in early November 1999. But Paavo had not executed either document. Paavo advised me that the board had authorized Montgomery Watson to assist in the negotiations and that I should predate the agreement to accommodate the work actually done by Montgomery Watson at the board's request starting September 1, 1999. Predate. I did so. I also directed Karen Vega to witness my signature, which she did at my direction. Feel free to call me, gave the phone number and the email address. And I have copies of this to give you and a newspaper article about it dated December 27th, 05.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please.
Leon Golden, Los Osos. You know, each of you, before you assumed your office, took an oath after agreeing to defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California. The oath concludes with the words, "And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter." Now, what were you supposed to be doing in these duties? Seems to me that it's quite evident that you're supposed to represent this district. And that shouldn't be too difficult to do. And yet I see some people who took the oath and who are now on the board, on your board, who are acting as cheerleaders for the county's sewer system. As a matter of fact, though, one of the cheerleaders who was elected by 28.31% of the voters, of the votes, actually, in the last election, told the Planning Commission that a vote for her meant the community was in favor of a certain system as against other systems. Really difficult to try to figure out what's going on here. You know, I was taught somewhere along the line that you can't serve two masters. And yet we see, again, people who are on this board who are serving two masters. They seem to try to do what they can for this community and are not as vociferous in the defense of the community as they could be, particularly when we find out that our water is going to be wasted. And when we have a person in charge of the sewer system who has said on repeated occasions that the issue is not water, you know, I find that difficult to comprehend. You can't serve two masters.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Martha Golden. Tonight I would like to speak to you as a property owner not in the prohibition zone, but as a property owner who does have property within our water basin. Tomorrow, the Water Board is going to hear an update on the Los Osos wastewater project. Part of that project, as it is currently proposed, takes all the septics in the Prohibition Zone offline and takes 1,150 acre-feet of water out to a property outside our water basin. That's bad enough. And then proposes to throw away on spray fields about 750 acre-feet a year of our water. Now, when I say our water, I am talking about not something that can be said, oh, this part belongs to the Prohibition Zone, so it's okay because it's their project. Oh, no, I'm talking about our water, everybody in the basin, all of the water that feeds the basin, whether the water is polluted or not, all of the water that waters our trees, all of the water that waters our shrubs, including several endangered species, some of the water that goes into the bay, all our water, and they're going to throw it away, and by some voodoo magic Prohibition Zone, but of all of the residents of Los Osos, all of the people whose water basin is being destroyed by this plan, to be there tomorrow and tell the Water Board that whatever they do, they cannot approve of a project which takes our water away and does not replenish it. That is, in my opinion, your obligation as representatives of all of the people of Los Osos. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
David Los Osos. It looks like the ISJ has their work cut out for them, because Pablo Ogren and the county staff are not going to back away from their stance on the spray fields. They're going to spend a couple of million dollars prepping Tonini to spray that water. It's up to you guys, before they get to that, to find another way to use that water before they start spending that money on prepping the spray fields. And so, I mean, I can say hurry up, figure it out. I've made some suggestions to Rob Miller, and hopefully he'll take them and maybe run with them. He said he thought they were good ideas. And it is up to you guys, because Pablo's not going to back down. We all know that. And we know that Bruce Gibson is going to push that agenda as well. And we're going to get a 5-0 vote on that Tony project. Less appeals and litigation. And that's the crux of it. That's where it's going to end up, is in court, probably. And there'll be no stimulus package money this year. So, not being privy, if you pardon the word, to what's going on with the ISJ, that's where the power is between the purveyors. You can claim that water. You can claim that, because Pablo's throwing it away. Public resource code, water code, says that's not a good use for a new source of water, and that's considered a new source of water, and you can claim that water. But I'd say get something started sooner than later, because we don't want them to spend $2 million prepping the Tourney site for spray fills. That might come from grant money that could be better spent.
Started the meeting. I wasn't here. But I would say this. There was a lawsuit filed by the CSD against the State Water Resources Control Board for not allowing a change order to build a project outside of the village. So if that is rescinded, then, and if it's not rescinded, let's put it this way, if it's not rescinded, you can't build at Tonini. And the other thing is, when you start talking about disposal of treated effluent, you're talking about throwing away water that we're now putting into the upper aquifer, and some of it goes into the lower aquifer, and it's recharging this basin safely with no danger of liquefaction. The other thing on these lawsuits, there was also Mr. Sykes wrote a letter to the board informing Dan Pohemus that there was, without a 218 vote, there was no money to repay that loan. And the board actually, the water board funded that loan 21 days before election with no 218 vote. And when we, every hearing we had with the, about that illegal funding without a 218 vote, John Sykes was there at the meetings with a representative from the state attorney general. Now, what I'd like to know, I wanted to be a lawyer when I was in high school, what I'd like to know is, how do you do this when you work for the Water Board, the Regional Water Quality Control Board, and the RW or the Montgomery Watson Harza? Do they pay you one big retainer up front, or they pay you every month, or you wait until they get
Mr.
a,
Payne, we're not discussing
maybe when they get a award of 48% overestimate, you get a big fund then. My
time's up. Next speaker, please.
Good afternoon. Good morning, almost. My name is Gwen Taylor. I'm a resident of Los Osos. A little bit of history. The county of San Luis Obispo has known since the 1970s that we had saltwater intrusion. That being said, there were three entities, engineering firms, Montgomery, Metcalf and Eddie Brown and Keir. He advised the county's board as well as the members of the CSA9 what to do, what not to do. In 1990, he had a memorandum of understanding that he developed with the purveyors that they were going to start in reducing the use of water and looking into saltwater intrusion. Nothing ever happened. We seem to be repeating exactly what has happened before with the ISJ. We are not getting any action to preclude us from having additional salt water intrusion. Starting in 1970 to now is not a short period of time. The county has known what the problem is. They have not addressed it, and Pavel Ogren has known what the problem is as the public works administrator, and he has not done anything. When are we going to see some action? Is it going to take this board to request that the county do something? Because they say it is the purveyors under the ISJ that have the control. The control is going to be out of control, which it is now with saltwater intrusion.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please.
Good evening. Brandy Fodder, pardon my cold. For over a year now, Directors Maria Kelly, Marshall, and TAC Chairman Garfinkel and others have been telling us let the process play out. Right from the start, the TAC committee studied only gravity. TAC spends a year and a half of their life studying the unaffordable, antiquated, anti-ASHA, gold-plated, stinky gravity collection system. We already went all through that years ago, wasted millions of dollars. Because they were told by Pavel to only study the gravity system, where for the last 20 years ago, it was studied to death at great expense, and 5 years ago, this gravity plan resulted in the recalling of three CSD directors in their disgrace because it was going to be located in the middle of town. Too expensive and unaffordable, and yet you still went down that road. We were still told to follow the process. Then Ogren takes it to the next level. Let the process unfold, Maria Marshall and Garfinkel said again. From Chairman Garfinkel, fast forward to last month, Ogren and others fly to Washington, D.C. for President Obama's stimulus money with the so-called shovel-ready gravity project. It was never shovel-ready. They would have been better off taking the Ripley Pacific project to D.C. We will see that you get the credit for forcing out 3,000 or more people. And you told me yourself you couldn't afford it, and yet you pursue the gravity system, the most expensive system in the country. Mr. Don Beering, he came out with these figures here. Gravity, 907 manholes. And the vacuum system is sealed under vacuum. There's hardly any manholes. 8 to 18-inch pipeline, most at depths of less than 8 feet or deeper for gravity. Whereas for vacuum, it's 4 to 10-inch pipeline, most less than 6 feet. Bell and spigot, vacuum, glued pipe. 13 pocket pump stations, 2 triplex pump stations, 6 duplex pump stations. Vacuum, only 3 pump stations. I think I thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Any additional speakers? Any other additional speakers? Please get in line.
Richard Margetson. First, I want to follow up on just some additional clarification on what Jerry Walsh read. Just so everybody out there understands, this memo states that Mr. Buell, I reported to work as the Los Osos CSD's general manager on November 16th, 1999. November 16th. Further in the document, it states, Pavo advised me that the board had authorized Montgomery Watson Harza to assist in the negotiations and that I should predate the agreement to accommodate the work actually done by Montgomery Watson at the board's request starting September 1st, 1999. Mr. Buell officially came on as the general manager November 16th, but he's been asked to predate a contract prior to his employment as the district general manager. I did so. It also states I did so, and also directed Karen Wagner to witness my anything legal, illegal about this. I'm waiting. I'm going to reserve judgment on that till I see the county council's report. But at the very least, I have to question somebody being asked to predate something and then going ahead and doing it without bringing it to somebody's attention, either in the community, at the county level, or somewhere down the road, that you would predate a contract because you were asked to by a previous general manager of this district. I really think that brings into question the ethics of some people involved. With the rest of my time, I just want to mention that at the RAC meeting yesterday, it was a very rushed project. But what I found out after, we've been talking and making comment about Mr. Garfinkel not bringing the Los Osos wastewater project to the RAC in the past, which he didn't. But I also found out yesterday from the chairman of the RAC that they weren't allowed to review the wastewater project until January because he could not get 3 supervisors to approve it going to the RAC for their review. And I asked him, well, why would that be? And his comment to me was they did not believe another set of eyes needed to be looking at this project.
Thank you for your comments. Any additional speakers? Okay, seeing none, that'll end general public comment. Mr. Seitz?
I just want to make a couple comments. First of all, I learned a long time ago that silence, sometimes people think a lawyer signed it must mean they agree with public comment. I want to share, Bruce, I've never been paid a dime by Montgomery Watson Harza, the Regional Water Quality Control Board, or anybody else in representing this district. I've only been paid by this district, so I want to make sure that anybody that thinks differently. Secondly, I wanted to point out one thing. This district has always taken the position in writing that the affluent be returned to the groundwater basin. I want to repeat that one more time so I'm absolutely clear. This district has always taken the position that the affluent be returned to the groundwater basin. The ISJ has not only has taken the exact same position, that the effluent be returned to the groundwater basin. As far as I can tell, the RAC has taken the same. The ISJ has always taken the position that the effluent be returned to the groundwater basin. And as far as I can tell, the RAC took the same position that the effluent be returned to the groundwater basin.
We're not taking any public. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Seitz. So that'll, again, that'll end general public comment. And then we're going to have director comments, future agenda scheduling, and then we're going to re-adjourn to close session.
Could I ask a question?
Vice President Ohilski.
Yeah, I'd like to ask a question. Just for clarification for the public, I guess, to Mr. Seitz, MWH is suing the district, is my understanding, but we are not suing MWH. Is that correct?
I'm going to say this with a caveat, because I was obviously not your lawyer when all this was initiated. So I can only speak by looking at the record. So I don't want to make sure that people think that I was. Montgomery Watson Harza has filed a lawsuit against the district. As far as I can tell, without having done 50 hours of research on this issue, I want to make that clear, that litigation was stayed by the bankruptcy court prior to the district filing responsive pleadings. And I believe that to be the case, but I can't tell you, that you, the community, that I have spent hours and hours and hours researching that, but that's my clear understanding.
At this point, it is your understanding, though, that we do not have a lawsuit pending against NWH.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you're correct, Mr. Seitz. It is state.
Can I go?
Yeah, Director Kelly.
I have some very serious concerns regarding comments that are getting made about individuals. Stick with the facts. It's really important that we have the ability to move forward as a community, that we have ability to support the process. I do support the county process, and I stand by that. I do not support the way the water being disposed outside of the basin. But if that's going to have to be phased, then it has to be phased. And I suggest and request that you read the reports. I think it's inappropriate to take character assassination and personal attacks and stay and start steering away from the facts. And
Can we have quiet in the public?
Is a county-wide committee. It is represented by every single city and CSD in this county. Everybody has an opinion on this issue. I am uncomfortable with the fact that Ms. Tacker and Mr. Edwards continue to mischaracterize my position. They have frequently stated that they have a preference, and because their preference is not floating to the top, they seem to feel that it's appropriate to continue to comment as though somehow we have a role in that and somehow we are disparaging the process. I think it's unfortunate. I think we need to stick with the facts. I ran on supporting the county process. I still do. So if people want to discuss the issues, happy to do it anytime. I really am concerned that we're starting to head down the path of making this a personal issue versus a water issue, which I have said it is.
Any other director closing? Can we have a quiet? We're having closing director comments here. Director Cecina.
Those of you in the room heard me many times in the past say I supported the county process. I always wanted to support the county process and the gentleman running it. I've lost that confidence and that faith. This process is, I believe, gone sideways. We have nowhere near a design-build process in place. There have been decisions made to not even allow projects to come forward to proposal stage that were developed fully to keep the water within this basin, not to use the Tonini site, not even to use Broderson. And yet those kind of projects aren't even allowed to make a short list for the proposal. So I do believe the process has gone astray. I think it's unfortunate. I think that the Planning Commission is a body that listens. and that we can have influence there. They obviously are being very deliberative. They are not just accepting the end-run maneuvers that I think the Board of Supervisors has put out there. We can have an influence on the Planning Commission. They have been listening. May 28th, they'll be listening again. They've only gone through two of their 10 concern areas. So there's a lot of dialogue left to be had. If you believe in ponds, because you don't believe in sludge, don't give up yet. There are ways to influence this and help the county.
Very, very feasible solution for the community that I'm partial to. I think sludge handling is going to be a critical issue for us. It is a sustainability issue, an economic issue, and if we don't clearly, you know, and completely investigate that, it's going to be such a detriment to this community for decades. And I think that's a very serious thing that we just have to go through with the county. And if they're going to sidestep it, we have to push it. Thank you.
Vice President Ohilski.
I truly have no comments on the sewer. I have some other issues I would like to discuss, though. So if you'd like to discuss the sewer, go ahead, and I'll bring mine up afterwards.
No, I'm not going to discuss the sewer.
Okay, thank you.
Per se.
I mean, yeah, I can say I ran on supporting the county process, and, you know, no process is perfect, and I think there's still a lot of opportunities to influence the process. That's my position. But I do have some other items I would like to raise. There's a couple items that I think that the board needs to address, and I just want to make sure that they either get sent to the proper committees or that they get agendized for our consideration. And it came up today, and it's come up, I know, in the Water Advisory Committee that I attended last month. But the water rate study was completed, and we accepted that rate study. But I think we seriously need to look at the water rates right now. I'm seriously concerned that if we lose the school district as a customer, the impact that that's going to have on our water rates. And one of the issues one of the alternatives that was raised in the water rate study was the differential rates based on the size of the meters. And I think that's something that this board needs to consider sooner than later, particularly as we get into the budget process. I'm really concerned with the school district's financial situation right now and the amount of money that they're paying for water, that they might start taking a more serious look at developing their own groundwater wells, which obviously has an impact on the basin water supply, but secondly, it has them to drill their own wells in the past, and I think that that's an issue that we can't just pretend's not there. I think that's something we have to address head on. So that's the issue I want to focus on tonight, is really, I think we need to agendize that, and what I'd really recommend is that the Water Advisory Committee look at it, and then they bring it back as an item for our consideration prior to the budget hearings, quite frankly.
Thank you, Vice President Ohilski, and a point well taken. And one thing that's part of the budget we'll have to look at, I think we'll have to do as part of it some scenario planning. And, with that, just my closing comments. Heard a couple speakers tonight. I did adamantly support, I'll say this, you know, I hear the county process. I support the county being the agency to execute the wastewater project. I'm not going to support the county process. I don't know what that means. I supported the AB 2701. I urged the board at the time when I was not in it to support the implementation of AB 2701, which provided the means for the county to become the steward and then to execute the wastewater project. And I still do. And I think, you know, I heard comments from speakers, one in particular that caught my attention was about change orders. And, you know, I've spent my whole professional career dealing with change orders. I'm not going to comment what I think of certain
past comments on change orders. I know what constitutes change orders and substantive change orders. I deal a lot with contractual matters, and I think, you know, as a board and as each individual and collectively as directors, you know, there's laws, there's facts, and there's what you have to interpret as relevant facts, and then there's the conflicting laws and the conflicting facts. And, you know, this board, at least since I've been on it, we always have to weigh, you know, what we believe the law is, what our counselors say they believe the law is, and then what the actions we have to take for the benefit of our district constituents. And I believe, you know, all the directors, you know, are diligent in doing that. And I want to say specifically, I appreciate getting the counsel from our legal counsel, John Seitz. I wanted to emphasize that. And again, I want to thank everyone for coming. I want to particularly thank Mr. Milanis, who stuck around. We have Ms. Harper from our staff. I want to thank our staff members.
18th will be held on the 20th because of a conflict with the fire chief. So for those of you on that committee, you'll be getting email notice, and anybody else in the audience that will be coming to that meeting, it will be on the Wednesday the 20th instead of Tuesday the 19th. Thank you.
Thank you. And again, a reminder, the Monday the 18th, the Finance Committee meeting, that's when we're going to get the first look at the budget. So it's a real important meeting. Thank you. And the regular meeting is adjourned. We'll convene to closed session.